two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
KSL at Night was recorded and produced this afternoon. KSL at Night. Some of Utah's top political specialists join a roundtable on the day's biggest stories. KSL is at 102.7 FM and on every smart speaker when you say play KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. This is Taylor Morgan, co-hosting with Mara Carabello. Mara, we now begin the second hour of our show tonight. We're having a great time talking about a lot of very interesting stuff. Let's talk now Russia, Ukraine. It's been almost 4 weeks since Russia invaded Ukraine, and Ukraine is holding strong. They're holding their own, I think, much longer than most expected. That being said, obviously, Ukrainians throughout the country are still in dire need of supplies and support. President Biden is now going to visit Poland to discuss Russia's invasion. Mara, do you think President Biden's visit will have an impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question. So last night, the White House announced it was going to be a trip to Poland as part of his European trip that starts this week. And that will be the question of, it certainly is an overt show by coming to the continent and being present there. I want to bring Amos Gyori into the conversation. He's a professor of law from the University of Utah. Thanks for joining us tonight, Amos.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So what do you think the end game is for the White House and Biden in visiting Poland?
I think it's more waving the proverbial flag, the symbol of a visit. I think if anybody has, pick your adjective, illusions, fantasies, hopes, that the president will leave F-35s with the Poles or with anybody else, I think that's not going to happen. On the other hand, there is importance attached to symbols. I think particularly given the fact, as you both correctly noted, the Ukrainians are clearly surprising the Russians. They're hanging on, and it's extraordinary. And I would think also Putin must have a sense that the army is not delivering the goods it delivered promised. On the other hand, you know, the Russian army is enormous. Is it competent the way we thought it was? No. How long can the Ukrainians hang on? Who knows? But again, in the spirit of symbols and you know, photo ops and those critical pictures, I think a Biden visit's important as long as the White House tempers expectations.
And so when we talk about these expectations, Professor, we have President Zelensky calling for more direct support, calling for assistance. We also have Vladimir Putin threatening retaliation if the U.S. provides even humanitarian or other aid. Is there actually a middle ground here to show it's almost ceremonial? Are we really showing support? Are we doing enough? Are we not already at war with Russia?
I think the at war will be defined, I believe, from Putin's perspective, indeed, if the no-fly zone over the Ukraine goes into effect. And I think President Biden is trying to thread a really, really tight needle, because I don't think he has any interest whatsoever in engagement with Russia, whether direct or indirect, whether however we define engagement. On the other hand, the president is clearly being pushed into providing the Ukrainians more than verbal and ceremonial support. We also need to take note, it's interesting that obviously he's beginning in Poland, that late last week, one of the Russian air attacks was 43 miles from the Polish-Ukrainian border. That 43 miles in the business of aerial attacks is pretty close. Was that an intended hit, a mishit, somebody miscalculated? I don't know. But the closer that Putin goes, you know, west towards Poland and therefore NATO, that would be, I think, a significant game changer. Is that what Putin really intends? This is one of the problems with someone who is clearly inaccessible, who lives in that strange room with that bizarre table. to what extent he understands what's happening in the broader world is an open question. That's why I think symbols are important. I understand the value of symbols. But is that going to be sufficient for the people in those apartment buildings being blasted in the Ukraine? The answer to that is no. And how much will the president then take that next step? I think, you know, we're 4 weeks into this, and I think it's literally, and I hate the expression, but it's accurate, we're literally making this up as we go along with nobody really, really, really wanting, as far as I can tell, true engagement between Russia and the West.
Yeah, that does seem to be, so far, what has happened is no one has come in from the Western side, from the NATO side, in too strongly. It reminds me of, for those of us who it reminds me when I was doing my undergraduate work, which was right before the Soviet Union fell. And for those of you of a certain age, you'll remember more and more discussions of brinksmanship, because at the time we were constantly evaluating the new nuclear age. And Amos, what I hear you speaking to, which I haven't heard as overtly talked about in this crisis as we have in previous times in the 60s and 70s, is this political strategy of brinksmanship. How far to the edge do you go before you have pushed too far, whether that is sanctions, whether that is direct attacks, whether that is symbols? And it does feel like Putin, particularly because of his unreliability of reaction, it's a much harder calculus to figure out where's the brink for him.
Because my instinct tells me, if I take your respective ages, combine them, you're maybe approaching me. I remind all of us of this thing that was called back in the day, mutual assured deterrence.
Right.
Which meant that we knew how far they could go, and they knew how far they could go, and we each understood where the goalposts are.
Mm-hmm.
Is Putin in line with set goalposts? I think that's a question. And the other intervening variable that who knows how this one will play out is the role of the Chinese. I mean, again, if reports are to believe the Russians, this was predicted, would at some point have problems with replacing broken parts of the military, I mean, in terms of supplies. And also, are they going to take a hit because of the oil and the gas? If he turns to the Chinese and says, you know, quote unquote, help, mm-hmm. however he would say it, then the Chinese become the critical power brokers. And that is a significant game changer.
That makes sense. Certainly, I think we're all making this up as we go, trying to understand circumstances as they develop. I think the key question that comes to my mind is how much longer can Ukraine defend, you know, itself? How long can President Zelensky and the government of Ukraine hold out in Kyiv under constant and increasing bombardment? So, Professor Amos Guerra, we are short on time. We appreciate your perspective. We need to wrap up. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Stay with us. Next on KSL at Night, the historic nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson gets underway, with confirmation hearings beginning today.